There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have y'all along, and a lot to do on today's show, and we continue with it being Veterans Month as well. Interviews with veterans all month long here at FM Talk 106.5 and here on Midday Mobile. And good to get this man back on the show to talk about what's going on. First of all, a veteran, somebody who served our country, but also continues to serve veterans. Like, it seems like every veteran I know continues to do stuff for other veterans. I love it. Matt Kinder from Fossack's Tire and Lube joining us, because I've been bragging on this week, Matt, but starting tomorrow and on Monday, veterans pay attention. Matt, what are y'all doing at Fossack's?
So starting tomorrow and on Monday, we're doing free oil changes for veterans, up to 6 quarts of oil. We're doing it at both Fossack Express Lube locations and all Fossack Tire locations.
Okay, so that's the one that says Fossack with the X and L out by my house. So that, you know, those as well as the main locations.
Correct. Yes, sir. Yeah, all Fossack locations.
It's great stuff. And by the way, Matt, were you in the Army, Matt?
Yes, sir. Yeah, the Army.
Talk about your service in the Army. When were you in? From when to when?
I was in from August of 2011 until April of 2014. I was stationed in Kansas at Fort Riley. I was a combat medic.
You know, remember us talking about this last time, too, that just the world of veterans coming into work. You know, you're working with Fossack's, but whatever business out there, I remember growing up in the 80s, my parents talked about, hey, you could enlist and you'll learn these skills, and these skills would be good in the workplace. But Matt, you correct me, you're the veteran, but what I've learned is it's not even specific skills, it's to doing a specific job. It's what y'all as veterans do to tackle work that makes y'all so valuable in companies.
The military definitely helped with getting you mission-oriented. You know, once you have a certain mission set, you do whatever it takes to complete the mission. It also helped with building leadership skills and things of that sort. So it definitely helps in the civilian life to get a job and to move up the ladder.
Yeah, it's mission. I've seen watching y'all from the outside, and whatever it is, you go from serving our country in the military to doing whatever place somebody works. That mission becomes the preeminent thing that they're going to get to do, and they get it done. Like civilians, we're just a little bit behind y'all in that. And I love the fact that your folks here at Fossack's are doing this. So once again, veterans can show up at 8 locations tomorrow. And when do y'all open tomorrow morning?
Saturday, we open 7:30 until 2. And then Monday, we're open 7:30 till 5:30. And you can show up at any time during those times, and we'll get you taken care of.
Do they need it when they get in there, just say, hey, I'm here for the veterans oil change, or just?
You could do that. We prefer to show, you know, some type of VA card or something, just to kind of show that they are a veteran, because, you know, there's some shaky people in this world. So just, you know, some proof that you are a veteran, and, you know, if you want to get a picture with us or whatnot,
yeah,
we'll put it on our Facebook, and, yep, that's that simple, and then we give it away.
Now, I know it's at all locations. Matt, you're at the location, you're on 90, right?
Correct, yes, sir. Yeah, I'm at 4207 Government.
Okay. Y'all go the other locations, but if you can, go see Matt. He's good people, man. I hope to get to see you back in person very soon.
Yes, sir. We'll see you when you're ready.
All right. There he is, Matt Kinder with Fossack Tire and Lube. That goes on tomorrow, and then it goes on again Monday. Veterans out there, as they say in their ads, they can't do anything to repay the debt we owe you as citizens, but just a little something here. Get that oil change right there at Fossack. It's funny how these things work together, too, because Congressman Jerry Carl's in the studio. Congressman, where were you before you came here?
I drove from Fossack. Having my oil change directly here.
Isn't that funny?
I've always used them, got great service, so I highly recommend them.
Well, it's a good thing, and it's a great thing they're doing for veterans. Again, they've been doing this for years, tomorrow and on Monday. I guess I missed it by a day, but let me say, I don't know exactly how the greeting is. Is it Happy Jerry Carl Day?
I wonder why I didn't get a call from you.
Well, yesterday was Jerry Carl Day, as determined by the city. I figured I'd have you in here. So belated Happy Jerry Carl Day.
Thank you. It truly was quite an honor.
What happened that people didn't hear you talk about?
I spoke to the Chamber of Commerce. I thought it was just, you know, another 20-minute conversation, and it was my way of saying goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, it's not goodbye, but as the sitting congressman. And they started bringing me, University of South Alabama brought me a jersey with Carl on it, District 1, all mounted. And I got, you know, from the state, from the county, from the city. Sandy made it Jerry Carl Day in the city. I didn't know if I could get all my friends out of jail or not.
Yeah, what happens with that? Is that
nothing.
Okay.
Doggone it. I didn't get a key either, by the way. But no, it was quite an honor. It truly was. It humbled me, boy. I tell you, I left there. I held back the tears, but I was very humbled.
Well, I tell you, in addition to that, too, what I think is fantastic, you know, we have our own, my buddy and the station's own Tom Claxton, as a Veteran of the Year, as put out by the South Alabama Veterans Council. Patriot of the Year will join us here in a little bit, Sergeant Major Brian Battaglia. Mm-hmm. And Veteran Supporter of the Year is, once again, this man, Congressman Jerry Carl, for the work you've done. I hear about it behind your back. So I've talked to those guys at South Alabama Veterans Council, and the things I've known, some of the things, because you and I've worked on some things, but the things you have stepped up and done for veterans in our area has not gone unnoticed by the veterans community. And so congratulations, Veteran Supporter of the Year.
I appreciate that. We love our veterans. We truly do. I mean, that's what got me involved in politics, was our military and service. And my time in politics has been simply to give back.
Yep. Well, you started, of course, at the county level, which, and we'll get to this, that I believe is as a job that prepares somebody to be a member of Congress.
I agree.
I think county commission, wherever, it could be in Dang, Kansas, or Washington State, or New York, or something. I think that job is the best analog to move into Congress.
It is, because you're used to handling some of everything.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
It's like juggling grenades as a county commissioner. So to get up there, I was really shocked how many county commissioners were actually up there.
Okay, so it is true that it's not just beyond you. There are people up there that had that same track as you did.
Look, just state of Alabama, Mike Rogers
was a
county commissioner.
Okay.
Dale Strong was a county commissioner. There's three out of seven right there that were county commissioners just in the state of Alabama. So there's a lot of county commissioners in Washington, ex-county commissioners.
Right. I saw it through you, because I saw what you did and other county commissioners. I said, yeah, that is probably a pretty good proving ground to be a member of Congress, but it's obviously true elsewhere.
Yeah, and it's tough for us to learn protocol and procedures and stuff like that. That's the hard part.
But answering the phone from a constituent that's got a problem, you got that at a county commission level. You get it.
You'd better respond.
Yeah.
You know, you know that as a county commissioner. You can respond. They know where your house is at.
Very well said. Let's talk about, and we get to the politics of what happened on Tuesday. But before that, well, this is what happened on Tuesday, but not top of the ticket, but AL2. And the outcome in AL2, Shamari Figures winning. A couple things. I'll get into the what was supposed to be a D+3 district that is a D+10.
It's more than that. I'll give you my view on that. With Trump on the ticket and Shamari winning by 8,
yep.
Without Trump on the ticket, I'd say it's closer to 18. I would give it 10 points. I truly would. I think it is.
So it's not an opportunity district.
No, it's not
said,
an opportunity.
It's a safe district like seven.
And congratulations to Figures. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's don't take anything away.
Yeah, he won the primary. He won the general.
He ran the course and he did well. But the way that's drawn up, it's coming back up in February. I certainly hope that Steve Marshall makes an argument by using this as an example. It is a perfect example of redrawn districts, how one-sided they can be redrawn by people that don't know the district.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll probably I say that. I don't know what they're going to do, but that district will always be heavily Democrat. If it doesn't change, it will remain Democrat forever.
What about the lines as drawn, AL2 and AL1? And I know it's been this big change the way I grew up with AL1 being Southwest Alabama. But now not only is it splitting up Southwest Alabama, it splits through the city of Mobile. And I know there's probably exist elsewhere, but for me, because this is my home, it's weird having a congressional district bisect a municipality like this, that you have two congressional districts in Mobile.
You cannot serve two masters. And the way this is drawn, both 1 and 2 are serving two masters. In District 1, you're serving Mobile and you're serving Dothan. Two mm-hmm. different creatures, and we talked about this mm-hmm. during the campaign, that you can do it, but it is going to take a perfect balance and act. In District 2, it's Mobile versus Phoenix City mm-hmm. and Montgomery.
And Montgomery.
Yeah, I was going to say, and if you think we're going to get treated equal to Montgomery, you're kidding yourself. So it's got both of these new congressmen serving two masters, and it's not going to work, because if Barry does something to help Mobile— which he should, and I hope uh-huh. he does, and I'm sure he will. Now Dothan's going to get jealous. So uh-huh. if he does something for Dothan, yeah. you know, the Mobile Baldwin County folks will get jealous. So it's going to be a tough balancing act.
It is, you know, to be like to make an analogy here, is it addition? Because you could say, well, listen, Congressman, you've got now two members of Congress paying attention to Mobile. So now instead of it being one voice in Washington, it's two. You know, 1 + 1 = 2, but then I can look at it on the flip side and say maybe the math doesn't work that way, that if they are split, you know, two congressional districts here may not equal one of what it was before when you had one vision for Southwest Alabama.
Well, one vision for Southwest Alabama was the, you know, a concept, and that's what I spoke on the chamber yesterday. You know, it's a team effort. And when I looked at Mobile, Baldwin County was always in my mind. When I looked at Baldwin County, Mobile mm-hmm. was always in my mind. Now you've got two ends pulling against the center,
mm-hmm.
so it's going to be very tough on both of them.
So, and what does that mean for? I mean, we could if for all over, but I mean, I can be specific. What does that mean for an Austell? You know, what does that mean for Airbus? What does that mean? You know, for these kind of fed things that are so linked to the federal government.
Well, you know, hopefully we've got enough people. You know, you got two strong senators.
Mm-hmm.
You can't underestimate them. Tommy,
yeah, but they're the senators for the whole state of Alabama.
Well, I understand that. But when you start talking about military contracts, when you start talking about, you know, mm-hmm. stuff for Austell and Airbus, for that matter, you know, you're and the port. Mm-hmm. I mean, the port, let's not the entire port. I mean, mm-hmm. you're talking about that feeding everything in this region. So, Coach and Katie's going to will do a great job of carrying that. Now, my fear when you start talking about the city of Mobile is how is Figures and Barry going to work together? That's the real question.
Yeah,
because they are on opposite ends of the sticks, and I can't see them meeting in the middle anywhere. But I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, and I do. I thought about it. Is there going to be this? Remember the old pictures of Reagan and Tip O'Neill walking afterwards, talking yeah. about trying to find some middle ground? I don't know if that exists anymore in our political landscape. I'm going to talk more about the Senate, the House, and the White House with you when we come back. AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl with us right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1223 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Another reminder here. Hey, veterans, and maybe you do it Saturday because hopefully you're parading on Monday. Free oil change at all FOSSAC tire and lube locations. That starts tomorrow morning and goes also again on Monday. But yeah, hopefully we see you Monday. We will be out as usual, even though the actual footprint moves a little bit. We do this thing where we feed and water the veterans, Congressman. And that enough veterans have said it's okay for me to say I'm treating them like livestock. We feed and water them. We waters and coffees and donuts and fruit and all that before the parade starts. Also, Mobile Mornings will be out there doing their show live. Usually we're in the parking lot. They're kind of centrally in the parking lot at the Civic Center. But because of construction stuff, we're going to be moved down on Canal Street. So, I mean, we'll be close by, but we'll be in amongst everybody getting ready to roll for the Veterans Day Parade on Monday. And I'll tell you, inside to hearing Tom Claxton, Lou Lartigue talk about this, and if I'm spilling beans, I'm spilling beans. I think the parade is so big this year, what those guys were worried about is the snake eating its tail. In other words, how they can get it stretched out so the head of the parade's not getting back before the end of the parade is leaving. That's a good problem to have. That's a proud moment.
That is a problem we need.
Yep.
That shows a lot of support for our veteran community. And South Alabama has always been very strong in our support. It's just a DNA thing in us.
It is.
And I'm proud of that.
And it's one of these things that takes going somewhere else to realize it. You know, because you grow up with certain things, and it's just the way it is.
Right.
It's like having a battleship in your backyard growing up. We have a battleship. Other places, you know, you have to go other places and go, oh, yeah, you don't have that. Or, you know, I've asked this question, you know, about what's going on inside the state with veterans issues, and Sergeant Major Battaglia will talk about it with me next hour. But I thought about this, too. Our big contingent from here that goes up, and I said, hey, from around the state, and they're like, they're not this one here with South Alabama Veterans Council. Way bigger than from Northeast or Northwest Alabama or Central Alabama. So it's just part of our DNA, I guess.
And we've always had a very active veterans group that gets out there and pushes and does things that helps other veterans.
100%.
I mean, you look at Veterans Recovery Council here. There's not another place like that.
Yeah, Veterans Recovery. Yeah,
oh,
John
gosh.
Kilpatrick. And
my gosh, that is a diamond right there.
Oh, it's amazing. By the way, I've got folks coming on Monday from Vets Recovery. We'll talk more about it. You know, John Kilpatrick's been on the show a bunch, but I got folks that work inside to see how it's working. They're going to join me on Monday's show.
I've got some veterans that I actually work with that they've been helping clean up, and it's
3,000, I think, is the number they've
absolutely
done.
Amazing what they can do.
And it's vets helping vets.
Yes, sir.
Before we go to the break, and we'll come back and talk about more, but let's talk about Tuesday. So my prediction was, so right now I'm correct, and it's not what I want. You know, I thought Trump would win, won that. I thought Republicans get the Senate, and I said that Republicans might lose the House. That was my prediction. Right now I'm 2-2. I don't know inside the House. What do you think is going to happen?
I think we'll pull the House off.
I looked
at the numbers before I came in here. It's just going to be by one or two votes. So they'll lean heavy on coming in sick. You know, don't miss a vote. That goes without saying. I hit it. I said the president would win by a couple of percentage points in popularity, as well as
you did say that. I thought he would win electorally.
I said five senators.
Yeah,
I put the number five on there, and I think we're at three.
Yep,
and that's probably as high as it's going to get. So I missed that one, and I said we would have struggles in the House. I mean, the American voters are smart, and they don't want a clean sweep. We as staunch politicians are staunch people that follow politics. We want control of everything, but the typical American doesn't want that. They want some type of check and balance. Mm-hmm.
So I'm one of them. I like something that slows down government.
Well,
I was on
a conference call with several congressmen that are going back in, and my statement to them was, "You got 2 years to get it done."
Yeah,
because you're not going to be in control.
The midterms.
Yeah, midterms. It's just the nature of the beast and how it's going to happen.
So. And we'll come back to the House because the uncertainty in the Senate is certain that Republicans will retain control. So who's the new majority leader?
I don't know. I mean, Mike's done a great job. There's an element of folks there that don't like him, but that doesn't mean it's enough to not put him back in. Okay. I would love to see the vote on that before the 119th gets sworn back in. The Democrats do it that way.
They do it beforehand.
Yeah, and that way, day one, you're moving forwards.
You don't have the
because it's going to take it'll take a good week to figure out who's going to be the next speaker because they'll argue it and debate it and take votes and it'll go on for days.
So McConnell gone in the Senate. Who is it in the Senate?
I don't know. I don't keep up that close with the Senate. I focus.
I just hear different names popping around.
I try to
around,
stay in my lane.
Gotcha. But yeah, it was something on the presidential side. I did believe Trump would win. Electorally, wasn't sure on popular vote, but did both.
But the statement that makes to this country, think about that. The statement that makes this country is he has crossed every boundary to win this. So he's going to be the man for everyone. And I know I've got some Democrat friends that are furious, but give him a chance.
All right, coming right back. More with Congressman Carl right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. The segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my man, Trey. Been doing it for 16-plus years, getting rid of junk out of storage units, houses, around houses. Anywhere you got junk, you need it gone. He does it Mobile in Baldwin County, and they do something that is one of these things that's going away in our country, but they still do it. They use a good old-fashioned appointment. None of those like, well, we have some window of time. There's no window of time. When you go online to 1-800-GOT-JUNK or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, they will talk to you, you know, and say, okay, what do you want done? Well, I want some junk gone. When do you want to do it? I want to do it Wednesday. When can you be there? I can be there at 5. And then you make an appointment. Because, you know, you have work and family and all these things going on. You make the appointment, and so you don't take a whole day sitting around waiting for somebody. I mean, this is important, right? And to get this junk gone, all you do then when they show up is you just got to use your index finger. I mean, out of the finger, I guess you use your thumb. Don't use the middle finger, probably. But point at the stuff you want gone, and they'll quote you a price right there on the spot. And if you say yes, you get to work and get it done. It could be inside your house, storage unit. The amount of big stuff they move to, Trey always reminds me. He's like, Sean, you're talking about what's inside the house. But he said, dude, this week, I mean, big trampolines, storage buildings and backyards, swing sets, above-ground pools, stuff. You're like, how the heck are we going to get rid of this? 1-800-GOT-JUNK. So online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone. The name is the number. Call my man, Trey, with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Continue our conversation with Congressman Jerry Carl. We talked about the politics of Tuesday and what comes from that. So, yes, yeah, 2 years is it, and maybe it'll be different because, you know, in 2017, Trump had bicameral support in the White House.
Yeah.
And some things got done, some things did not get done.
Right. Well, I think he's hitting the ground running this time. He's not taking time. I know they're already have got short lists put together of people for cabinet positions. He will get sworn in on the 20th. I know their plan is on the 20th, everything be in place. And moments after being sworn in, he'll start making some changes.
Okay.
So we all as Americans should be excited about that.
Absolutely. Now I want to talk to something that you and I texted about earlier this week. It's something that is stays on my mind, and you got some experience firsthand. You went a week ago or so?
Last week.
Last week you went on a trip. What was it, a congressional trip?
It was a congressional trip. There was three of us, and we flew into Munich, and then they hopscotched us over to Poland, and I cannot pronounce the name of these cities. Okay. We got to actually go into the field. We looked at the equipment that was coming in, being processed, how they inventory it. I understand it much
better now.
Stuff
coming into Poland that's going into Ukraine.
Yes, and they keep it less than 24 hours. They have zero warehousing.
Okay.
So they're not warehousing this stuff. It's going to the front line quickly. They got truck transportation set up as well as train. We got to go into the field and watch exercise, watching these young folks. I say young folks. In Ukraine Army, it's 25 or older.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking anybody under 25. They had a 70-year-old tank driver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because of the casualty rate.
Just casualty rate. They want to make sure that those young folks stay behind to have a...
Have babies.
To have babies.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Right.
But
that's serious. When you start talking about those kind of things, those measures, making sure you're getting new generations on and you're having older people in your fighting forces, you know, where I am, I support their right to defend their freedom, but I see this as a war that I don't know how they can beat the Russian, big green machine, the meat grinder of Russia. They just have more people, and this has been a war of attrition. How can a smaller country keep up with this?
So I've got an idea.
Okay.
To answer your question, I've got an idea. Let me finish this one. But we got to go through the maneuvers. We did a full day of that. We saw how they do urban warfare, how that's processed. The Polish are actually training the Ukrainians on these facilities. So it's legit stuff. We got to go see some of the drone stuff. We are way behind in drones. The drone technology over there has far exceeded anything we've got here.
Mm-hmm.
But then they start sharing statistics with us, and statistics is the Russians are losing about 1,400 people a day. A day. It's like a meat grinder. They don't care.
And the Russians don't care. You look back from the Battle of Stalingrad in World War II to now, the Russians, that's their idea.
So in three days, a young Russian will join the military, be fitted in clothes, shown how to put a helmet on, use a gun, and sent to the front line within a three-day period, where the Ukrainians are getting a full 5 weeks. That's huge. What really hit home to me is each brigade is moving with its own crematory. So all these Russians that are getting killed, they're instantly cremating them and leaving their ashes on the battlefield. Now you can't beat something like that. I mean, they just keep pushing people, pushing mm-hmm. people, pushing people. But the way to beat is let's look at how we're helping Russia. You look at this administration, what we did from the very beginning. We would not provide the F-15s. We drug our heels for a couple of years there. We would not provide the Abrams tank. Came through with it. I mean, it's like we tried to prolong this war every time. Let's either help them or get out of the way. But you got to look at Russia and
get
you got to figure
way.
Out the sanctions. American Express, MasterCard, John Deere, whoever wants to do business with them, stop it. Stop it. Let's just drown them out.
But at the same time, Congressman, couldn't that just force them to be more of a petro state for China than they already are? Doesn't it just
their petro.
They're all on board with, got North Koreans even fighting for the Russians in theater, and it's just...
And the North Koreans...
Because they're going to find money somewhere, right? And they're going to find it from China.
But the problem with the North Koreans, they don't know the language. You got people on battlefield you can't even give orders to.
Right. So, it's not the efficacy of those North Korean soldiers. It's just as this goes on, saying that can we completely starve them out? Because don't they look at China or something if they they go, well, we'll get it from there.
I don't think China wants to get involved in that war. I mean, that's a no-win situation for everybody. I'm hoping Trump gets in there and gets in between these two leaders in Ukraine and Russia and makes them settle. If you noticed, Russia's already came out and started talking about a peace accord. They're mm-hmm. beginning to talk about it. So that shows...
Well, but we had a peace accord that would have maybe happened early on, and it was Boris Johnson and it was Joe Biden that basically said, nah, don't take this deal.
Yeah, well, I'm not knowledgeable of that one, so I'll give that to you without argument. But that's the only way we're going to win this war. More money's not going to fix it. More people's not going to fix it. We've got to cut the funding of everything Russia's got coming in, and I mean everything. Just shut it down.
Would you, with that being said, you do that through these companies working with them, then on the other side of the ledger, because you and I have talked about this, is if another funding bill comes up like this for...
I will not vote for it.
You will not vote for it.
No, I will not. I voted for the original one, mm-hmm. and I voted to send the F-15s in, and that's the only positive I've been on it, but I will not vote for more money. But when you get over there and you see the equipment coming in, you realize it's not just U.S. money. There's a lot of countries pouring money and equipment into that war. I mean, it is I saw a warehouse. You would go berserk. I bet you there were 10,000 rifles in a warehouse, not a mm-hmm. warehouse, but a big building, getting them out of the weather, and they're transporting those things out. I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of hardware that's coming through.
You got to have hands to put those rifles in.
I understand that. I agree with that. But the inventory system they have set up is second to none. I mean, I was really impressed with what we
So supplies from the different partners, NATO partners, United States, that material comes into Poland.
They all come into one place.
Okay.
It's all processed.
And then from there it's on trains or trucks?
Trains or trucks. And then all the stuff that's hurt in the field that they can actually get out and bring back, they bring back and they repair. They've got a center set up now where they're actually working on those tanks in the field and telling the mechanics in the field how to fix it. So But if we're going to fix it, we got to focus on Russia. You know, let's focus on cutting their oil sales off. Let's focus on their credit card companies.
How can we do that? So say we cut their oil sales off, but they're selling right now to people that are not allied with us, China, and probably Iran.
Okay, we can't get it 100%,
but China needs it. North Korea needs it.
Take 20%. Let's take 20%. I mean, you cut off their flow to world banks. I mean, you start putting pressure on them on their money, and Putin, because we Americans don't understand this. Only information they get as civilians in that country is what the government puts out. They think we are horrible people that are coming there trying to take Russia over.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they've ever heard. That's all they know. So, the people, when they get hungry, or hungrier, because they're hungry now, when they get hungrier, and all these soldiers are not returning back home.
Yeah,
they'll figure it out. But in the meantime, I don't see an end to it.
That's my problem too. Is I don't see, and I looked at it at some point. Every time I see Ukraine have some advantage on the battlefield, I go, okay, now it's time to go to negotiations. Because I mean, Lord knows you're a businessman. I pretend to be. If I'm going to come in and negotiate with you, I got to have something of strength. I got to have something you want.
Yeah.
Right, to sit down. So I keep hoping every time I see, and I don't know if the news is all true, but I get the news that this offensive or whatever was the Kursk offensive, whatever was effective for the Ukrainians. I'm like, okay, now you go to the table. You got something to negotiate with. But it doesn't seem to – I don't know how it ends. And I worry that, in a conventional war of attrition, that Russia just – like, you're right. You have to starve them out monetarily or back home because they can produce more bodies to put guns in their hands than Ukraine can.
North Korea will send them more and more.
Yeah.
And North Korea is not doing it for free. But the problem with the ones in the field, they can't communicate. They don't speak the same language. That's one problem that they pointed out to us. So, it's also a training center for so many companies that are sending equipment in there. I mean, we're getting technology out of there that's Star Wars type stuff. So,
yes, but you talked about the drone technology as well.
Something
I find fascinating, though, that I think our military complex in the country is so much in building big things that cost the American taxpayers a lot of money that, talking about the Houthis are using a $20,000 drone and we're using a $1 million missile to intercept it. The Ukrainians are using at surface or subsurface drones that cost them $25,000-$30,000. To sink a $1 billion asset of the Russians' Black Sea fleet. I just wonder, are we filling in the in-between? Great, we have the Reaper drones, we have these great technologies, but do we have anything in the $30,000 or $50,000 range? Because it shows me, looking at what happens in the theater of the Greater Levant in the Mideast and in Ukraine, that there are people using less expensive things to defeat things that cost a lot more. Warfare is kind of changing in that.
Yeah, so we went to a drone manufacturer in Poland and got to spend a day there walking around looking at different drones. They turn out 400 a day. They're burning up about 2,000 a day in the field, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
Drones. And they're building pretty darn cheap. They really are. I mean, they're using literally printing machines. What's the new?
3D printers.
3D printers to make most of that stuff, and American technology is just not there.
Yeah,
let's just be honest here.
It's good to hear that from what you know and what you can tell us. Can't tell us everything, but the top of the if I want to say what's the top battlefield drone, and you look at the Reaper and you look at those, yes. But there's this whole world that's underneath that is less expensive, smaller, expendable. Right, 2,000 lost a day. That's fine because the price point's not what it is for one Reaper drone.
Yeah, And what these drones do blow my mind. Again, we were watching them on the battlefield in trenches. We were at high spots where we could watch them. It was a safe place.
You could actually see the battlefield.
Well, no, the training.
Oh, okay.
The training of the battlefield. And we're watching ourselves on live cameras. So we got a drone up above us somewhere. You can't hear it, can't see it.
Oh, wow.
And he says, you see that green spot out on the field? I said, yeah. He says, now just watch it. And that drone, wherever it was, dropped a grenade. It was a smoke grenade. And when it hit that green spot, it went off. And you're going, how in the world do you run from something like that?
You can't.
You can't.
It changes the battlefield completely.
Yeah, talking about the technology and how it's coming. No, they kept us away from the front. They got us out. They took hits that night in Key. The Russians are just aggravating them at night. We had a 10-hour train ride in, a 10-hour train ride out. They had all our phones shut off.
Do they black out the windows? I heard all this stuff about the trains, like to make at night. Do they turn the lights off?
You can. I'm from South Alabama. I had my window open and cracked. It was too hot in there. I figured they didn't want a war out old congressman. But we couldn't take any military with us, so we had some escorts with us, some contractors and stuff. So it was very eye opening. I'll come back with a little different attitude.
Coming right back, more with Congressman Jerry Carl right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:53, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Also, as we continue our conversation with Congressman Carl, I'd be remiss if I didn't take into effect that there's six or seven people here asking, and you could actually look in my notes, y'all. I could show you on the text line. I said, what's next in your political career? People are saying, what about mayor of Mobile? This question came up last time you're on with me. Your thoughts on this?
We've not ruled or accepted any thoughts. My wife and I, we said we weren't going to start making any real decisions till after the 5th. The 5th has passed. We've got two or three things we're looking at. Obviously, the city, the mayor being one of them. But we want to be where we can serve the folks of Alabama the best. And that may sound a little bit corny, but being the mayor of Mobile is a very important position right now.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the future of Mobile is so bright. We live in a shell here that we don't understand how things are exploding in Mobile, and it's from efforts of a lot of people over a lot of years. So we have to take advantage of that. So we need a good mayor. We need a good, strong mayor. I just don't know that that's where God wants me.
Okay.
And we're gonna find out, my wife and I, if you understand what a fleece is. We've put a fleece before the Lord, and we'll figure out where he wants us to go. Because where he wants us to go, we will prosper. If he doesn't want us there, we won't prosper. So I'm not quick to make any decisions on anything. We have got several people that have reached out to us on several different situations, private and the public sector. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not any closer, any further away from making decisions at this point. But I appreciate the fact of just being brought up, because it's going to be a long litany of candidates that are going to run for that position.
Okay. As we close out here, I know we got tons of questions over here, but I'm taking executive privilege and asking mine. I don't know which one to ask first. What are you going to miss most about Congress, about serving in Congress?
I'm going to miss the information that I get to process and look at that I can understand. Most of it I can't talk about, and I understand right. that, and I respect that. But I'm going to miss that, and the friends that I've made. There's a lot of members up there on both sides of the aisles that I've become very close with. So there's going to be a lot of things I won't miss.
Yeah, that was my next question. So let's talk about, I gave you the positive first, Congressman. What won't you miss?
The fundraising. You have to raise $1.5 million a year to not feed the system. But, you're running for office every 2 years, and those are expensive. You have to – and then everybody gets a piece of everything that you raise.
Can you explain that to people who haven't – like how that works?
Yeah, well, the most you can raise is $3,300 from a person. So it takes a lot of people to make up $1.5 million. But we will raise money. We will give that. We will give a portion of that money back to the Republican. And it's our option. We don't have to. But we'll give it back to the RNC. The RNC uses it to flip seats in the next election. So
money can come from, we'll call it a safe district for Republicans.
Sure.
Right, or Democrats, depending on where you are.
Yep.
Goes back up to the national.
Yep.
And that is reallocated to a place that they think they can use it to make a change.
Yeah, they're stepping in, running TV ads and things for candidates. That's how we keep, that's how we get, I mean, because most candidates don't have the money to get out there. So it's a process that works and works well, but it's a terrible strain, the fundraising part. It's tough.
What percentage of a given work year for a member of Congress, not you specifically, is spent with fundraising? Is it 10%? Is it 15%?
Oh, at least 10%, yeah. But so, and we, you know, we can't do that on the Hill. We have to get off the Hill. We'll go to the Capitol Hill Club or back to my apartment. I live close enough I can do that. But that gets very discouraging. It truly does. I wish we had a way of putting limits on money in government. But anytime you do that, the private sector finds a way to get around
it. And it's one of these, you know, how do you – I agree with that. At the same time, my beliefs in the liberty of people to donate how they want to, it's a tough one for me.
Yeah.
It's what I've never been able to give you – because I can argue one day – to say put limits, these people can't put money in. At the same time, then why do they have less rights to do, you know, it's a...
Yeah, you know, everybody wants to say, well, it's a lobbyist to give you all the money. Most lobbyists can give you is $5,000. So you got local businessmen that believe in you. Huntsville is a great place to go and raise money, depending on what committee you're on.
Yeah.
You know, and they're...
Like contracting.
Yeah, but those are individuals that are giving you that money. Those are individuals, so... So if you'll really do a deep dive, you'll see the majority of the money is coming from individuals, but at least my money.
There we go. Congressman, good to talk to you.
God bless you.
And God bless you, and you know, God bless your family, and happy Veterans Day to your son.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right, we're coming right back. Sergeant Major Bryant Battaglia, he is Patriot of the Year this year. Also has a lot to say about what's going on in Alabama for veterans, and we'll do that next.